The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, standing where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I hope you don't mind. I found this wandering cleric in the neighborhood. And I decided that since Beverly and I have had this whole place to ourselves for so long and it's getting a little heavy, we could use a little help. But it's great to have Pastor Robert and Kathy Moore here with us today. And next week, too. Okay. From the beginning, the Christian church has always had a problem with Mary Magdalene being the first to see the risen Christ and the first to bring the good news of Christ's resurrection to the other disciples. The earliest Gospels, Mark and Matthew, only glancingly mention her and never mention her alone. Luke gives her passing reference, as well as reports that the women's words, quote, seemed to them an idle tale. After all, they're only women. Women couldn't possibly be dependable, especially dependable witnesses and proclaimers of the risen Christ. Think about this. Think about this back then, every time we pray about those, particularly women, whose health and dignity is threatened. It started a long time ago. Well, it had to be dealt with. And in 591 of the Common Era, Gregory the Great, the Bishop of Rome, solved the problem. He conflated Mary Magdalene, who was introduced in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, with Mary of Bethany, introduced in Luke chapter 10, verse 39, and the unnamed, quote, sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet in Luke 7, 36 to 50. And he then proclaimed that they were all the same person, that they were Mary Magdalene, and Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. With that one sermon, Pope Gregory I settled the issue of Mary Magdalene for good, or so he thought. And for those of you who watch TV, that's the way Mary Magdalene is portrayed in the TV show The Chosen that keeps running and running and running. Now, there's one other popular portrayal that diminishes Mary Magdalene as a person in her own right. The contemporary culprit for this one is Dan Brown in his book, The Da Vinci Code, and the Tom Hanks movie of the same name. He proposed that Mary first rushed to the tomb because she was Jesus' wife. Okay, back to Pope Gregory's sermon. From that point, Gregory's sermon, for the next 1,500 years, Mary Magdalene and her role as apostle to the apostles was significantly diminished. Roman Catholics continued to observe her feast day, July 22nd, but only to emphasize her alleged sinfulness and not her role in Christ's resurrection. Lutherans and most Protestants went one step further. In 1524, the first Lutheran hymnal dropped her day from our liturgical calendar, they thought, for good. And we didn't restore Mary Magdalene or give her her apostolic credit due until, are you ready, 1978, in the Lutheran Book of Worship. Unless you think this is not about the dignity of women in the church, please note, we didn't commemorate Jesus' mother Mary from 1524 to 1978 either. I, however, have always insisted that we commemorate Mary Magdalene, and I've insisted on that for two reasons. First, because she was a faithful, courageous woman. And after all these years, we need to celebrate and hold up for emulation faithful, courageous women saints. Incidentally, this gives us our only chance on a Sunday morning liturgy to hear about another faithful woman saint, Ruth, from whose book we never otherwise read. Second, because there's never a wrong time to celebrate Easter and to make use of the Easter gospel in our daily lives. So with all of that, three useful applications of Mary Magdalene's Easter experience. First, despite literally hundreds of sermons to the contrary, the most important thing about Mary's encounter with the risen Christ is not her failure to recognize Jesus, supposing him to be the gardener. The most important thing about that encounter, the thing we can all base our life on, the thing we can all face our death on, is that the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ recognized her, knew her, and called her by her own name. Lest we think that that is unique to Mary Magdalene and has nothing to do with all of us, let me remind you that both in the Hebrew scriptures and the New Testament, every face-to-face meeting between God and God's people. There are no exceptions to this, but you should think about Sarah laughing at the tent door when the three visitors came to Abraham, or Moses trembling and tongue-tied at the burning bush, or Elijah hiding and hearing God's still, small voice. While these and others may not have recognized God, may not have known God's name, God knew them, and God knew their name, and ours. We can live our lives, spend our lives, risk our lives in Jesus' name for the sake of others, confident that in life and death, the one crucified and raised for us, always knows us and always recognizes us and always loves us. And that is good news. Second, Mary's failure to recognize the risen Christ points us to one other mystery of faith, the mystery of our resurrection body. What we will all look like, with which our Friday Bible study group grappled as we studied Paul's letter, first letter to the Corinthians, especially chapter 15, where Paul writes about this very subject by making this very creation-centered point. Paul says that just as a seed of grain, little seed of grain, carries in it but does not look like the stalk of corn or wheat that is to come, so is the relationship between our earthly bodies and our resurrection bodies. Paul puts it this way. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. This is also good news, as long as we remember good news number one, that on both sides of the grave, the risen Christ knows, recognizes, and calls us and all people by our own name. To that end, our crucified and risen Lord comes directly to us in the Eucharistic feast, which is what taste and see that the Lord is good really means for us. And one more point. The easiest to forget about Mary Magdalene's encounter with the risen Christ, at least the easiest one for us to forget. After Christ calls her by her name, after she realizes that Christ is risen, Mary runs to tell the others, those men cowering in the upper room, runs to tell them the astounding good news. She goes boldly, she speaks boldly, because she knows that from that point on, there is nothing she has to fear. How y'all doing with that one? Not so well. Well, that's yet another reason Christ comes to us at this table, to strengthen faith, to build up courage by giving us the one gift we need, the gift of the Holy Spirit, to enable us to live as Mary did, rejoicing in Christ's resurrection and joyfully sharing that news with every other person whose lives we touch. Living and sharing that way as faithful optimists, living and sharing that way can turn this upside down world right side up again. And that's why I want to say this one more time before I don't have this pulpit anymore. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.